Please note that the information and advice provided via the Things I Forgot Were Good For Me podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be construed or substituted for professional medical advice, counselling, or any other type of therapy or professional advice. I do not provide specific medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. And if you have any concerns about a medical condition, please consult with your GP or other qualified healthcare provider. Please do not disregard professional medical advice or delay seeking it because of something you've heard whilst listening to this podcast. Hi everyone, I'm Rada.
And I'm Giles.
And we're your trusted guides for the Things I Forgot Were Good For Me podcast. The podcast that helps you remember, relearn, rediscover and be inspired by others about what might help you feel good on this journey that we call life.
And we're starting right now on our journey to discover those things you forgot were good for you and inspire you to remember them. So without further ado, let's talk about this week's theme. Born in London to professional and touring musicians, musical director and founder of the Archway Choir, Jane Rees, has always had music in her life. She started learning the piano when she was 7 years old, and by the time she was 14, she was studying at grade 7. At 16, she was performing in professional musicals, as well as penning her own soul, jazz and dance music, and gigging UK clubs and venues. Drawn to the bright lights of the big city, as a young woman she moved to central London and served time with various professional bands and a cappella groups. An apprenticeship which furnished her with a solid grounding in musicianship and professional practice. She is the musical director of the Archway Community Choir and also the co-creator of the Choir Player app. Jane, thank you so much for being on the podcast. We're very happy to have you with us today. I know that obviously singing is a big part of your life, but I don't really know how you got into singing in the first place. Have you always been into singing from a young age?
Well, I didn't really get to make a choice. I didn't have a choice in the matter. So my father was a musician, bass guitarist, and wrote musicals and did whatever. And he met my mother in a band. So, you know.
Right.
That was that, really. So I grew up with them two in West London, and I just wanted to do it. When you've got it in your life, you know, that's the thing about music. If you have it in your home growing up and you get to listen to it, and you can't really help but be drawn to it. There is lots of science around that, but that's for another day. And so I just loved it. I was forced to play the piano. I say forced because in those days you could do things to your kids to make them practice that you can't do anymore. So yeah, I had an egg timer on top of the piano, and I got to grade 7 by the time I was 14 or something.
Oh wow.
Yeah,
so you were pretty dedicated then.
Yeah, well, I play the cello, the French horn and the clarinet as well, and I was in the church choir because I was brought up very religiously. So all of those things kind of came together. I'm so grateful to my mum, and I look at my kids who I tried to get them to learn things, but as previously mentioned, the methods available to my mother are not available to me. So it's a bit more difficult, you know. But
So what sort of music was your dad's band then? What kind of stuff?
Well,
did they
play? Was the bass player with Free for a little while. So that.
Oh, okay. So it's like prog rocky kind of stuff then.
Well, no, Free's more blues rock, like almost going into country rock territory, although probably someone would tell me off for that. But yeah, no, it's more kind of rocky blues. And then he went off, after he split with my mum, he went off and did musicals and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Yeah, so lots of different kinds of music. But my mum was a rock singer as well.
See, I did not know that about your mum.
I know. She's been all over the world. She even danced for Cliff Richard. I mean, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
You just don't know about people, Giles.
I know. This is good. This is why I do podcasts. So I can find out all the secrets.
Get the lowdown.
So it sounds to me, James, though, obviously, like you're grateful, like you said to your mum now for making you
the bruises and the broken bones. No, not really.
For making you learn the piano. And I guess we never know, do we? But kind of where, you know, the things that our parents kind of encourage us to do or tell us to do, we never quite know whether or not they're going to be for us or not. Obviously, with you, it very much resonated with who you are, your personality, and what you loved. And I think, I mean, I haven't ever come across a human who does not like music or doesn't have some relationship. No.
I know. I can see the shock on your face.
Really?
Seriously, yeah. And I will say in my career, one person, but they're a real person and it's a friend of my mother's.
Wow.
They don't listen to it. They don't like it. I always thought there was a genre for everyone, but just nothing.
Well, I was going to say that actually, because, you know, I mean, innately as humans, you know, we respond to sound and rhythm and, you know, we respond to kind of people coming together, whether or not that's, you know, face to face or kind of just in an energy type way, if that makes sense, of music carrying people and bringing people together. So I'm really surprised by that. I mean, I'd like to think that person still sings in the shower, maybe.
I don't think
or
they
just
do.
Hums.
I think they're dead inside. I think that's what's going on.
I'm going to say, yeah. I'm not sure I'd want to be friends with someone like that.
I don't think it would happen, Giles. Just saying, it's not going to happen. You're safe.
Okay.
That's quite sad though, isn't it? Because actually, I think music is such an amazing tool to kind of help us through life. And by that, I don't just mean for sort of our mental health or well-being. I mean, actually just to help us get through life. Because when I think about the difficult times in my life, music is an absolute essential thing that I use. I don't use it as kind of consciously, but I'm drawn to it. And whether or not that is to motivate myself to kind of carry on and persevere and pretend I'm Beyonce singing those lyrics, or whether or not it's to put on something really sad, or, you know, a bit of classical music to kind of hear the instruments, like you were mentioning the cello. That's one of my favorite instrument, and I've always wanted to learn the cello because of the resonance of the instrument. So many times in my life I've used music, or music has helped me to get through something or to just express my emotions. Is that what music is for you, even though obviously you do it as part of your work and your job and professionally?
Yeah, it doesn't change. When I was at school, I wasn't very average, and I'm ginger, I'm a redhead. So, and I was a Mormon. I mean, I could pile it all on, but you can just see where this is going. So the music room was my salvation, and music saved me. Being in the musicals, I made lots of friends doing that. There was a local community theatre near where I lived in London, and, you know, getting involved in that. That's how it literally saved me. And then even as an adult as well, there was a period in my life where I didn't really have a lot to do with music. And I remember rediscovering it again and kind of coming back to life. And it is a way to make friends. When I came to the town that I live now in Seaford, I didn't have friends. I was completely new. I'd been in Brighton and London before that. And it wasn't until I opened the first of my choirs here that I started to meet the kind of people that I would like, you know. I mean, going back to what you were saying about music saving you, the business I've run, I work 3 evenings a week. I'm sure Giles knows because I take his wife away from him enough. 3 evenings a week, nonstop for almost 13 years now. And wow. In that time, I mean, my children are now nearly 18, oh gosh, this weekend, and 16, that, you know, they've been through school, I've been through a divorce, you know, anything that happens in your life, if you've got music, I can't explain it. Now, as a grown-up, I'm not religious at all. So having the community of people, going back to what you were saying, so I'm doing a master's at the moment on making money from being a musician, which is quite funny, really, if you think about it. It's kind of entrepreneurship.
It's almost perverse.
Yeah, what are you talking about? That's another language, I think. And so it's about entrepreneurship in music. And one of the things now for me is that great community that I have built. It's so, you can't describe it. And I'm not going to go on about it too much because I just sound like a bit of a wally. I just love it.
No, not at all.
I love it insanely. I feel, honestly, I can't explain how much joy I get every single time I rehearse. Every time. It's madness. And my kids don't believe me. They don't believe me. I come home and I'm all chatty and full of life. I don't know what Michelle's like when she comes home. She's probably like, oh God,
she's buzzing.
I need a dog.
Yeah, but I know that feeling from performing and playing. And actually, one of my favourite aspects of being in a band is getting in a room and rehearsing and like learning songs, writing songs is obviously very exciting as well. But actually that feeling of being in a room.
So
and
what is it about it for you?
Music.
Because I was exploring something recently that was saying that when people get together in the same room, online's never going to have that capability, even without the latency, even if they sort the latency, but in the same room, they were talking about brainwaves, maybe, you know, I don't know, maybe you know something about that, but how they all start to sync up, which kind of makes sense. So if singers are singing phrases together, you know, at the same time, using the same melody or the same harmony, it's such a unifying process, isn't it?
I think there's something happens better in your body, like
it's
the chemicals
magic.
In your body's change, you know. It's magic. It's magic.
It is.
Like you think like...
I think it is, like, actually.
what other art form will make you get goosebumps on your arm or a shiver down your spine? I don't think there are other art forms that do
well,
it.
Well, I was going to say dancing.
A musical frisson, that's
frisson,
what
that's called.
Well, I was going to say dancing, but I don't think it is that because I do confess that occasionally I'd watch in Strictly, you know, on a Saturday night. And sometimes I'll get goosebumps, but if I revisit it and say, well, why did that give me... It's the blooming music. It's the music,
yeah.
It's not the dancing. So, yeah, being in an orchestra, all of that. Sorry, Giles, go on.
No, I was going to say, why do you get those, same with film, why do you get those moments in film? It's because the music,
you know,
is tapping into an emotion that you're invested in.
And it isn't really magic. That's the sad thing. It's not really magic.
It is magic.
Spoil it for you. There's who's the guy from Talking Heads? He wrote a book called How Music Works. I can see the front cover. I read it. Burn? Somebody burn? No? Come on.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. Let me look at it.
It's a brilliant book and it's got the emoticon of a speaker on the front. It's called How Music Works. And it talks about chord changes and...
David Byrne,
there you go. It's a phenomenal book. A little bit hard going. You want to do it over like 6 months or something. But it talks about chord changes and why they create certain feelings within us, you know. And sometimes, so part of my job, I own an app called Choir Player. And I have to create arrangements of famous songs for the app. So if I need to create a certain mood, there are certain vowel sounds or cadences that I can use that will evoke that in someone else. Is that the magic circle broken?
No. Well, I don't think it is, because I think actually science is magic and life is actually magic as well. You know, there's something magical about how life works, even if we can explain it or we have kind of gone five steps in trying to explain it. I think it's still magic that actually
Absolutely.
That can produce that feeling and like you were saying earlier, Jane, about how, like, you know, when you actually are there with other people, all those layers of benefit. There's the benefit you personally get from music and singing and self-expression, and, you know, the way your mind is away from problems, for example, in life for a moment. Then you've got the benefit of everyone coming together and, you know, reduction in loneliness and people being there together with the same purpose and looking after each other. And then you've got the whole performance aspect, haven't you, and the creative aspect of like, what can we perform, what can we create? And then you've got the audience, you know, watching that, you know, whenever you have events or you put on concerts, you then got the audience, and then you're seeing people enjoy what you're doing, so you then get the benefit of actually making other people feel good. So there are just so many layers.
You can't lose. You cannot
benefit.
Lose.
No, you can't lose. You literally cannot lose.
No.
And I mean, that's even without talking about like physical health and lung capacity and all these other things we know are great from singing. So literally,
so why do you
lose.
Think then, why then, because this is part of what I'm talking about in my dissertation, why do choirs and singing in groups still have a negative connotation? Why do people, you know that exists. Some people say, oh no, I'm not doing that, I'm not going to sing, I'm not going to join a choir, I'm not going to, you know. And that's across all generations. I do have a theory based on some of the research I'm doing, and that's that, and I don't want to get into anything contentious, but the church kind of kidnapped all the music for a while. And so now that we're I read a statistic today that Christianity, I think, has dipped under 50% in the UK for the first time. That sounds like it might have been said 20 years ago, but apparently it's today. And I think that kind of breaking up of all of that stuff might allow the music through a bit more, might take away some of the stigma maybe that some people have for it. I don't know.
Well, maybe people have had, you know, negative experiences at school. I mean,
yeah.
I know in my school choir, you know, I think one of the music teachers turned around to me and said, because he heard me sing individually and then in the choir, and he said to me something like, so you tend to tune yourself in with other people then? You can't really, because you're out of tune the rest of the time. And I've never forgotten that. I mean, I didn't care particularly. But, you know, it sometimes at school or the way we're taught music.
Not even getting picked for the school choir.
Yeah,
the standards were so low.
Oh, Giles. No, they weren't.
But I got told I sounded like a man. They said, oh, my goodness, you sing like a man.
That those things do hang around, don't they? Kind of that those sort of judgments that we hear or we're told when we're very little. And I also think there's a lot about, you know, when we become adults and grown-ups, in inverted commas, about how actually we become even more concerned with other people's opinions. And so that's why, you know, we have to have colouring books now that are sort of labelled as, you know, mindfulness activities for adults, as opposed to just, here's a bit of paper and a pen. It's like adults are not allowed to colour. They're not allowed to be free. They're not allowed to go and express themselves. It's got to be embarrassing or it's got
to
be.
So how do we give them permission to dance again then? Because, you know, I completely agree with you. I completely agree. And I'm quite willing to make a fool of myself. You know, at this point in my life, I've made enough mistakes to know it's the only way I'm going to make any difference in myself, you know, any change is going to happen. But people are afraid to make mistakes, aren't they? And not look good, which is crazy because none of us look good most of the time.
Oh, no, not at all.
Do you know what I mean?
You should see me at the moment. Well, you can see me.
Well, yeah, I've got my slippers on and a blanket as well.
I've got a hot water bottle behind me. So.
I think we do get
into this, unfortunately, into this pattern of, you know, we must achieve in whatever we do. There must be an outcome in whatever we do. And also we can't, you know, we have to have a purpose to everything that we do as opposed to actually just enjoying it.
Isn't it for the sake of it an outcome, though? That's an outcome, exactly, too. You know, if you identify it in a way that, well, at the end of this, I won't have thought about that awful problem I've got for 20 minutes, which is literally what happens, you know. So maybe I hate the word reframe, but that's what it is. Think about it in a different way. You know, you are doing something with an outcome. But then, you know, there's all this stuff now as well about it's not impressive to say how busy you are. It's that culture is starting to change, isn't it? And it's such a relief that now we can say, oh, actually, I've been really busy and I'm going to stop for a bit. And that's okay.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah, we always a lot more of that.
Yeah, I try and ask people if they're good busy or bad busy now. Because some people don't, you know, in some moments, busy's not always good, is it? Because you're too busy, like you're too labour. But if you're good busy, you're in a good place and you're doing stuff that you love.
Couldn't it possibly be that there's no such thing as good or bad, but only how you handle it?
Yes.
I'm handling my busyness well this week.
Yeah.
Yes. Or it's busyness that you're creating yourself and not.
I wish that was always possible. This week I was thinking about all the things that are in my list this week, and it's a stupid week, but you know what, that's okay. My son's doing his application for Cambridge at the moment, right, and he's the same as me. Oh, I've got so much to do. But if you put it all in a box, so I'll go to choir tonight and they'll say, oh, what's happening at the party? And I don't know, I'll think about that on Friday. What? I can't. I just have to wait until the day that I've set that I'm going to think about that.
I've learned to do that a bit more now, actually. I used to get very nervous and think about things way in advance, and now I tend to just be more like, okay, I'll deal with that just beforehand, or I'll deal with that the night before, or the day before.
If you plan it, you don't have to think about it. Write it down. That's when I'm going to sort that out, and I'll be able to, so I'll just do it then.
So Jane, I mean, I'm just thinking about people sitting at home thinking, yeah, I do love singing. But I am a bit nervous about joining a choir. I am a bit sort of like, oh gosh, I have to walk in there on my own. I won't know anybody. You know, I don't know how it works. Will it be okay? And I can see that for some people, most people, maybe even myself, probably at times I've sat there and thought, oh, maybe I just won't do it. Maybe it's just too much. Have you got any tips, advice for them about how to approach that or how to deal with that?
Yeah, you've got to know that you've got to start. This is going to sound sad, but you've got to start doing things that are good for you. You have to make choices that are good for you, and not all choices that are good for you are easy. And whether that's, you know, eating one less chocolate bar every week, that's what I meant, you know, whether it's anything like that, you know, it's hard to make the right decisions sometimes. And if you know that you'd probably enjoy going to a choir, you know that it's going to be that first time walking in on your own is going to be tricky. So you can ask a mate to come with you. Everything that you say to me, oh, that would be difficult. Yeah, it would, but you can get over it by doing that. There are ways around everything, and you will never, ever be sorry that you joined a choir, ever. The other thing about a choir is, you were saying that, you know, when they heard you sing on your own at school, I never hear anyone. I tell them I don't ever hear anyone on their own, but and I don't really. I don't make anyone sing on their own. It's the sum of the parts. You know, it's what you create as part of a team. It's not you on your own anymore. You know, I mean, it's a bit like the universe, isn't it? Sound like I've had a drink now, but I haven't because I'm off to work soon. But, you know, we're all just the sum. We're just these little things. Let's, you know, that's how I think you should see it. Stop thinking that you're so important because you're not. Now go and make yourself feel better.
I love that. I really like that. I'm going to put that on a T-shirt.
You don't matter. Just get on with it.
Two sections. The first bit on the front and the second bit on the back.
Well, it's better than my favourite one, which is you might as well. We're all going to die, you know. I'm a bit more careful with that one.
So Giles knows this. So I did a bit of TV and I did a CBeebies show called Feeling Better, which is all about little children and emotions and feelings. And as part of that show, I had to sing. And when I went for the
on the TV.
Yes.
It sounds like you might have enjoyed that.
No. So when I went for the audition, the producer said to me, so this is going to be the show. You know, you're going to have to sing. Can you sing? Will you be okay with that? And I was like, oh, yeah, sure. No problem.
Because as you do.
I'm amazing.
I was so passionate about the project and so passionate about what it stood for and what it was going to do potentially to help children. I thought, no, I can do this. And then obviously when I then found out I was going to do it, I was like, oh, my gosh, what on earth am I going to do?
What did you do? How did you get there?
So I remember going to the local park and practicing singing. I remember kind of recording my voice in the phone and just generally just trying to get my voice back into. I mean, I love singing, but I'm very much a bathroom singer, a car singer. You know, I haven't sung for a long time. And I was absolutely terrified. And one of the songs was called Feeling Scared. And I was like, I can definitely relate to this. And I wasn't, I'm not the best singer in the world. I wasn't the best singer in the world. But do you know what? It was more actually the reason why I was doing it and the reason I was there that carried me through. And a bit like you were saying, how if someone's sitting there thinking, I'm a bit scared of that, or I don't want to do it, like you were almost saying, it's about the passion or about why you want to do that and almost taking the outcome out of it. And that's kind of how I got through that experience. I just thought, well, you know what? This is not about me and not about my voice or whether I can sing or not. This is more about actually what this whole program is about. So I can definitely relate to trying to get over fear of singing in a public arena, let's put it that way.
I still get nervous. I get more nervous if I'm running big workshops. Some of my workshops are quite big, or if I go to do them for somewhere else, I can still get nervous. But I know that it's not for me. I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it for them. It's okay. It doesn't matter. Just, you know, you do it for them. And also, it must be the same for you. If you, not the same, obviously, on the TV, because you don't get that immediate reaction. But you know, for me at choir, when I look out and I see all those people and they've all got their stories, they're all there for a reason. They lost a husband or they've moved to a new area or anything. And that's what we're doing it for. Isn't it daft? Mm. I had to try and find out what my MA was about. What is it that I wanted to do? I want to get people singing. That's what I want to do, get people singing.
Why is that? You must have seen a lot of people who, like you say, have been through difficult times, are going through difficult times. You must have seen the impacts music and coming together in a community choir has completely had on people.
Completely. And I'm a salesperson wherever I go without meaning to be, because it just seems to answer everything. It seems to solve every single problem. You know, even if that problem is so big that you can't solve it, it will give you, and you said something earlier, actually, Rado, about not being able to think about anything else. Yes, that goes for me when I'm teaching, but when you're truly engaged in a choir and you're trying to learn a part, you cannot think about anything else. And that can be a blessed relief. Just, you know, you don't realise it. You come out and you think, oh my goodness, I haven't thought about that for, you know, and that's wonderful. Anything, oh gosh, we don't need that. So yeah, I see it. And I'm a big softie. I am not strong at all. So sometimes my armour has holes in it. That's how I think of myself. I have a bubble around myself. And sometimes there are little holes in my bubble. And then I have to go away and kind of patch it up, ready for the next time. But things get in. So if I see a choir member who reacts, you know, I could have 80 people there. And if one of them I can see is having a hard time, that'll affect me until I do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Through music, obviously. You know, I don't offer to make them a lasagna or something.
I was going to say, it wouldn't be a blessing if I offered to make them a lasagna, as Giles will tell you.
We've all got something to give. We've all got something to give.
Not food poisoning, I hope.
Yeah. Best I just stick to singing, I think. Yeah. Yeah, it's massive. It's huge. And it's the best human connection ever. Because I'm a bit of an introvert. I'm not really extroverted at all. Probably like you, Giles, I would have thought. You know?
Yeah, it's funny how we like that, aren't we? Like we will go to, I mean, I've performed in bands for years and I'm fine when I'm kind of fine when I'm on stage. I mean, I suppose it's a bit easier being in a band because you're with other people. But yeah, given me other situations where I'm in front of people, then I don't like talking.
You've been to my concerts, yeah. Haven't you? And I love leading the choir and I love teaching it. And a choir rehearsal is a performance for me because I want to make everyone laugh and let them have a good time. But the shows, if I could sing every link between songs, I would, because I hate talking so much. Can you tell?
Mm. it is an amazing way, though, isn't it, to express yourself, like a different way of expressing yourself. And whenever I hear someone singing or I watch a performance, I think, wow, I wish I could belt that song out like Florence the Machine, or I wish I could use my voice to that degree where you literally are taken away from everything. So I think it's such a useful form of self-expression without it being forced and without it being overtly,
yes, but don't use that belty thing as your yardstick, because you know, it's not, most people can't belt. They just can't. They don't have the physiology for it. So.
I still try to in the car, but
do you keep your windows closed? Yeah, so I mean, that's a quite interesting one, Florence and the Machine, because that just goes to show how everyone, because I've tried to listen to her. I have tried. And it's too, I don't know what the word would be, raw?
She's my go-to when I'm feeling particularly emotional.
Oh, see, I'm Foo Fighters and Muse. That's what I do.
No, yeah, you're more on my
in the car, just yeah.
But Jane, a lot of what you've been saying, so Giles knows this. So I do some work with the National Academy for Social Prescribing, and I don't know if you've heard of social prescribing, Jane, but basically it's something in England where now NHS England have recognised that GPs can refer people to link workers who can then basically chat to someone who might be going through difficult times in life, maybe low mood, depression, loneliness, relationship issues, difficulties, and they can then actually refer them on to a community choir or an allotment. So I want to say a couple of years ago, actually formally that rolled out across England. And so basically what I'm trying to say is that now we're starting to recognise that health and well-being is actually also related to community activities. It's not just the music or the arts or the nature or physical activity like walking football. It's actually also the process of connecting people together. So it's just some of the things that you were talking about there are very much in line with social prescribing and what that's trying to do.
Well, just so interesting, because when I first started my choirs, 2009, I started my first community choir. I actually wrote an article, and one of the things I was researching was why there was a professor at, I can't remember which university, Granville Rencox or something, and he was saying, wouldn't it be wonderful if GPs could prescribe choirs, you know? And that was in sort of 2010. So to hear you saying that is just, that's really wonderful. That's amazing, because the other thing about it is it's the community involvement. You can go along to a choir and still feel left out. I think that is the case. It can feel like that, you know, the word click. This word, people, it was a bit clicky. I don't actually believe in cliques. I just think they're friendship groups that you haven't managed to get into yet, or that wouldn't suit you, or they're just groups of people. And then no one intentionally excludes someone else, especially at a choir, because the kind of person that joins a choir is open to connection. That's why they're there. So it would never be an intention to exclude anyone. But once you become part of the team, whether you're an alto or a soprano, whatever you are, you become part of a team. And the investment that you put into that, the reward that you get, even if you don't perform, the fact that you're learning something with other people and working towards a common goal, that I can't, it gives you purpose. And there's part of me that believes you need to feel worth. I'm kind of looking at this idea of feeling worth and what makes me feel worthwhile or worthy. And I think it's being part of a community that supports itself in the absence of religion, especially. That a bit serious for a minute?
No. but also very vital in small places. Like, I mean, you know, like you said, we live in a small town. There's, you know, and there are certain things that people can't access. And so to be able to access that community group where they can do something they love and enjoy.
Do you know how many choirs there are here? And there are choirs where they don't harmonise, they just go along to sing. So if my choir seemed a bit too difficult, because sometimes we do three parts, sometimes four, sometimes it's great, sometimes it's really the opposite of great, but you know, we do it. And there's also, you've got the really formal church choirs as well, whereas I'm not that either. So there is something for everyone. And even in a town of ours, what are we now? Are we still at 25,000 in this town?
Something like that,
I think there are about 10.
Wow, so yeah.
It's amazing. Oh, it says I'm about to raise my hand. Yeah, that's amazing in this little town. You know, you can't say that about the gardening clubs now, can you, Giles? Not quite the same level of commitment. You know, when I came on here, I didn't think you were, I thought you were going to ask me what was the thing that I forgot was good for me, and it wasn't music. Isn't that interesting?
Well, we are actually about to ask you that question. Obviously, you know, your work and your role is very much music and community choir based. But like you say, you know, it doesn't. We always ask our guests, what is that one thing? And it doesn't have to be.
Well, because music's always been there. So I've never forgotten. I always knew, you know, and even if I couldn't afford a piano in my house, I wanted one. So it wasn't something that ever went away.
And I've been thinking about it. So, Jane, what is that thing then? What is that? What is your thing? What is your thing that you've forgotten or remembered?
It's learning, formal education. I can't believe it. Mm. So I left school with nothing, pretty much. I think I got an A in music, and I was really good at playing the piano, but you know.
You're in good company here, don't worry. Exactly. I know, like, we're with a doctor, so like, you know, we're...
So I got...
But, you know, I only had one GCSE as well.
Well, so. I did get my English language. And I got a D in French and a D in chemistry. Don't know what that's all about. But anyway, so I didn't. And then I was thinking about becoming a teacher when I had my second child. So I had to go back and do my maths GCSE, right? This is when I was about 33. I loved it. Maths GCSE. I loved it. And I was like, what? What is this? And I got a B on the highest paper. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Good work.
And then a few years went by, kids growing up a bit more. And that's why I kind of ended up as I am. And I'm now 1 week away from finishing this master's degree. And I don't like the idea that I'm not going to have any more to learn or research or. So, yeah, that's what I forgot. I forgot that I have to learn. I have to keep learning, training.
I love that. I love that. And I think that's related to curiosity, actually. I think being curious in life is a really important, like you were talking, Jane, about purpose. I think being curious in life is a really important attribute to continue through life. And that doesn't necessarily, I mean, that could be formal education, but it could also just be curiosity in terms of learning different skills or hobbies or going to different places or traveling. But I think being curious, I think also gives you energy for life, because you never know what life is going to bring, or you're always being surprised by something. And I think that gives us a sense of wanting to get up in the morning and we don't kind of get bored. Yeah. Curiosity.
So now I'm looking at what can I do next? I mean, I suppose I haven't got time to do a PhD now. I don't want to do that. I can't even think of anything worse than trying to do that right now. But I know that I'll be looking for something that I can improve on, or something that I can add to in my toolbox, or, you know, I'm so, honestly, it's just, I find it really exciting. Can't believe
amazing,
I'm saying this.
Jane, yeah.
What am I saying?
Well, congratulations.
Yes, 100%.
Because it's not easy to do a master's degree, for goodness sake. So
I kind of skipped some of it.
Very proud of yourself.
I skipped some of it.
Especially with other responsibilities in life as well. Like, there's other things which are there in life. So to kind of prioritise that and to make the space.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Mm. I can't explain it. And maybe that's not the case for all people, but for that is it adage or adage, whatever you say, if you want something done, ask a busy person, because we're already running around doing a million things anyway, and you'll just slot it in. The less you do, I tell you what, the pandemic really, it had more of an effect on me than I thought it did. It was really bad for me, I think, the pandemic, really. I used to have a big art centre, which it wasn't big, but you know, it housed all my stuff, and I had an office there where I worked. I had a PA, a human being, I mean, not like a sound system, although I've got those as well. You know, and it was just, life was really different, and I lost it all. And then suddenly I wasn't seeing my people, that I wasn't having that human interaction. The music had gone, everything had gone suddenly. And I've been sort of trying to get myself back up, ramping myself back up. I'm still not there, I don't think. How are you, Giles? Because I mean, your job is a bit more I'm so yeah,
I think I've been very, I'm very grateful that a lot of what I used to do is remote anyway. Yeah. So, for me, it hasn't maybe changed as much as far, but I can see the impact other people have had.
Horrible.
And I totally feel for you because I know how much of a.
I need it as much as my choir members do.
Yeah.
You know, it's a synergy, and that's the thing I think about. I've been talking to my friends lately, and obviously doing this master's has changed my view on the purpose of life, God, you know, all that. But you just need to do what you're supposed to be doing. As soon as you find that thing you're supposed to do, there's a synergy that happens. Mm. And everything kind of falls into place. And, you know, like people say, oh, you're responsible for this. No, I'm not. We're all responsible. I set it up. I facilitate the room and I choose the arrangements and I teach them to you. But you guys turn up. You're the ones that commit to it. Because I will be honest with you. If I didn't have this as a job, I would not be a choir member. Because I don't have the staying power, probably, I don't think. I'm from London, I can't explain it. I don't know if I would be able to do it. So it's everyone. I'm just doing what I'm good at. And I found it, thank goodness. You know, I'm so lucky. So it's a synergy, that's all.
Like you say, finding your purpose, that's another thing, isn't it? Another thing that kind of keeps you going through difficult times.
When I was at school, when I was 14, 15, as I say, it saved me in the music rooms and whatever. I used to take my friends in there in break times and teach them harmonies. That's what I used to do. And I never knew it could be a job. I didn't know. So how long was that? I mean, that was 25 years after I started doing it as a job. I had no idea. I wish I'd known. And if it isn't a job, then you can make it one. I could have made it one. But then, would I have had the experience that I've had? No. I wouldn't be the person I am now if I hadn't done all that awful stuff I'd done in the meantime while I was trying to find it.
Yeah.
Well, Jane, here's to another 25 years. Here's to another 25 years of you being an incredible, not just an incredible like choir leader, creator, but also just an incredible human being. Because even though I've never met you, I can tell that from just talking to you.
That's very nice.
And also an incredible member of the community, because communities make us happy. And, you know, knowing people in our local area, it makes us feel valued, makes us feel part of something and that sense of belonging. So I think that's beautiful. And I want to come down and see you and Giles and
do
be
it.
Part of that
come
too.
And sing in our choir.
Yeah, come and watch some of the concerts.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
She can do a solo. What was that song called again?
Oh, feeling scared.
Yeah. There you go. Brilliant.
Jane, it's been such a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time today. I know you've got a really busy week on, so I do appreciate you giving us.
I'm going to sit down and have some food, and unfortunately, Tipping Point's not on because of the blooming football. So that little daily ritual.
I'm sorry about that.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Jane. That's the end of another Things I Forgot Were Good For Me podcast episode. Thank you so much for joining us. I hope it's inspired you to go looking for all of the things that might help you feel a little bit better.
And hopefully we've inspired you to go looking for our podcast. You can find it on all good podcast platforms, probably some of the bad ones as well. You can also find us on social media. Our handle is Radha.
Yes, Giles, absolutely. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Forgot Podcast. So go and find us there. We'd love to hear from you.
Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again next week.